This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Do you think your daughter might want to play in the WNBA?
She does for sure.
She does?
This kid, man.
Wouldn't that be great?
Dude, man, I'm telling you. The best thing that happens is when we go out and fans will come up to me and she'll be standing next to me and they'll be like, hey, you got to have a boy. You and V got to have a boy, man. You got somebody carry on the tradition, the legacy. She's like, oi, I got this. You know, boy for that, I got this. Like, that's right. Yes, you do. You got this.
And sadly, they'll never have the joy of that, with two lives among the nine erased on a Calabasas hillside yesterday. The tragic death of Kobe Bryant and others. The story here on Sports Radio 670 The Score throughout the day. And we mentioned that this is there's no easy way to do any of this. There's no easy way to do human existence and these people taken from us at this time and with the histories that all human beings have, but we're doing the best we can to get the most varied perspectives that we can and try to make some sense of the nonsensical. It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score of the Hour's keyword is goal. Text goal, G-O-A-L, to 72881 by the end of the hour. The keyword goal, 72881, a randomly selected nationwide entrant will win. Don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Jason Goff is on Twitter at Jason1Goff. He is NBC Sports Chicago's Bulls pre- and post-game host, and he wears big boy clothes, and you can see him on the radio.com app at watch670thescore.com. You make us look stupid, man.
No, I knew I was going to get into some trouble. The NBA is actually descending upon the city today to start a lot of the All-Star Week stuff. So there's people who have been commissioned by the league to be here a couple of weeks ahead of time, to try to figure out where guys should go, where they shouldn't go, that kind of situation. So,
The real important people.
Yeah. So actually, I got a podcast to do today with KC and some of the other guys over at NBC Sports. And before the pregame, I was supposed to meet up with some of those dudes and ladies, actually, because I'll be hosting the retired players event. So, yeah, it's crazy that a lot of people from the NBA are starting to trickle into the city on a day and 18 hours after what everybody considers a tragedy. Nine people lost their lives, most famously Kobe Bryant and his daughter. But for, as people affectionately, refer to him as Coach Alto, as these stories are coming out now, you're learning, that the families have been torn up and will be torn up forever. But the NBA community and people who just love basketball kind of, took a hit last night. Yesterday, I should say, because, I found myself, the older that I get, the more I consume stuff like this to a point where it's like, all right, you got to back away, Jay. Like yesterday was tough for me because from the moment that I got the news, people started texting me from around the league and I started checking in with some LA people and, try to stay off social media, but then social media started informing you and misinforming you, and a lot of stuff was going on. And all that, the entire time I'm sitting there with Jay and we're watching college basketball, and you try to be present with your kid, and I didn't think I was giving off any kind of weird energy, but like he comes over to me, he hugs me, and we start talking or whatever, and he doesn't really, like, he's a 3-year-old, so he's bouncing all over the place, and then like his whole thing changed. I'm like, all right, got to be present for my guy. And for like the next 6 or 7 hours, I was trying to figure out how to be present for my man, but also, try to understand the humanity of what just happened, because this is a guy who, everybody who's in this industry that you understand, like, when people come into your lives in terms of how they affect you, or when you started your career, Like, for instance, I started my career covering Jay Williams, Jamal Crawford, those guys.
Yeah, see, this is why I was going to ask specifically, because of the way...
Yeah, he's 41, I'm 39.
Yep, the way the way it syncs up personally and professionally in a way that you go from watching him, appreciating him, then to standing right next to him and asking him about his finger.
Yeah, right? Like I said, I know there's been sound issues, but I don't know if we still have it, but I'll never forget the time where Kobe had this finger that was just dangling for like months, and he was supposed to get a procedure on it at the end of the year, but he was playing through it because he was, you know, Ultimate Warrior, Kobe, all that good stuff. All that stuff, the toughness that people talk about in sports, like that dude actually embodied it, right? And it wasn't for show, it was because that's how he was built. And his finger's hanging there, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, this is weird. It's mangled. This is pinky. Last finger to touch the ball, all that type of stuff. And everybody's asking him other questions, and I'm sitting there looking at this black and blue digit that's just dangling. And
finger.
His digit. Yeah, exactly. Yes. I was like, did I say digit? I was making sure I just said digit. Yeah, digit.
Penis man.
And it's just dangling there. And I ask him, I go, has anybody gone after your hand since, you know, it's become public what's going on with your finger? And he kind of waves it off a little bit, and then he kind of snaps into competitor mode, and he says, why would you? And I'm like, yeah, of course I would, right? And then, because I'm an idiot, because I snap into competitor mode with a champion and an all-star, right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
What?
Yeah, exactly, right? He goes, would you? I go, yeah. And he goes, good. He goes, I'm looking to drop 81 on somebody else's ass. And I'm like, well, I have a tape recorder, so you know what I mean. So I don't know if I'm going to be in the arena for you to drop 81 on me, but I can appreciate it. So as the interview goes on, and, you know, it's Kobe. Everybody's asking their questions, and he goes on longer than, you know, other players who come into the city. And then I just feel him tap my thigh, and he kind of gives me a wink, like, you know, it's all good, but I got you, you know, like, and those, like, the little stuff like that. And I've only interacted with him probably about 5 or 6 times. Gotten a chance to talk to him a couple of times, like just about basketball extensively. But yeah, man, it's unfortunate because when you think about watching someone's life, like we didn't get a chance to watch Michael Jordan's life. Like LeBron and Kobe Bryant are two of the athletes who we've pretty much watched their lives. You know, from the time that we saw LeBron, you know, be ineligible because of the car and the yellow suit on the sideline. We watched Kobe Bryant tell us he was going to the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, when he was introduced to us as a 17-year-old player, we watched him. I remember vividly watching that Utah game and watching him shoot the 4 air balls and thinking to myself, yo, this might break this dude. And all it did was make him stronger. He started an all-star game before he started for his team. Like, these are the things. And anybody who loves, and this is why basketball is so personal, I think, with a lot of people, because it's the culture and the sport that you can wrap yourself in, I think, the easiest, whether it be on the court or off the court. You know, you see these guys, you know these guys, they're not covered by face masks. They, especially now with social media, they're more interactive than they've ever been. You wear the gear, like you wear shoes. Like, the shoes are a part of NBA culture. Kobe's shoes became a part of our culture.
How many people in their office, randomly with a crumpled piece of paper, when they lean back and shoot it, will literally say, Kobe?
Yeah. And all these kids now who are growing up in the NBA, like, that was their Jordan. You know, for my dad and his friends, there was the Magic Bird debate. And then Mike came along. And he was the young punk wearing the gold chains and the band shoes by the NBA. Like, we like to do a lot of revisionist history, but your favorites weren't always your favorites, right? I mean, I remember Terry writing about Mike, you know, in the very beginning. So for a lot of kids, that was their Michael Jordan. And keep it funky, there are a whole bunch of Lakers fans before yesterday, obviously, and probably that feeling is going to be even stronger going forward. A whole bunch of Lakers fans who did not accept LeBron James becoming a Laker because Kobe Bryant was the end-all, be-all. Just like you have Jordan fans in this city who don't rock with the Bulls, there are a lot of NBA fans who were just Kobe fans. And the moment he retired and said, I'm out, a lot of people who said, okay. And this is the thing that I you know, we talk about the basketball gods a lot, and I've said it. We've had these conversations, Dan. The thing that I, basketball-wise, regret the most is that we never got a chance to see in the 8-9 straight finals that LeBron went to, right? We never got a chance to see those two guys match up in a 7-game series to go head to head and say, who, like, what's up? And these are the things, man. So, like, yesterday was really sad. And today, I'm sure, as we have a little time away from it, you know, everybody kind of mourns and does what they do differently. But yesterday was really, really sad because cultural figures and icons that get taken from you. Like, this is how I felt when Nipsey Hussle died not too long ago. Because the first time I went to L.A. was the first time I heard his music. And it was Hustle in the House was his first big song for me. And when I went to L.A., that's all we played for like 3 straight days. And you could tell it was his town and it was, you know, it was the L.A. vibe.
You could hear it last night at the Grammys.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant was L.A. Like, Kobe Bryant was never meant to be in Charlotte, right? And there's a lot that goes into why he wasn't a Charlotte Hornet. What happened there, and Jerry West seeing him and him having the most dominant workout that anybody's seen from not just a 17-year-old, any incoming rookie. He was L.A. He was West Coast basketball. He was a star. And, you know, last night I lost it when I'm sitting there and I'm watching the Dear Basketball short. And you're just sitting there thinking, man, this dude is so talented. Like, I know at 39, like, you know, Jason's mom and I have these conversations quite often. Like, I don't know what I would do if one of them was to be taken from me. And I can't imagine losing two people that you care so much about in Vanessa Bryant and what she's going through and what her daughter and what her baby, you know, will go through because the baby's a small child. But the younger daughter, losing two people in that fashion. And we don't know when death is coming, right? But we know it's coming. And to know that in a couple of moments before it happened, he was with his daughter, right? That's something that, you know, that stayed with me all night. And until just now, I tried not to think about it.
No, it's hard
again.
To think about, man. It really is.
You know?
Yep.
You know? And it doesn't.
Yep. Yeah. The idea that he was on the way to her practice, too. I mean, this was the life
it was
he
his
was
turn.
Living.
It was the Mamba. It was, and he was championing women's basketball behind the scenes for a long time. Like, his imagination was getting ready to spill out onto the world. Kobe, for so long, was this guarded, measured, sometimes too serious, a lot of times cutthroat, sometimes bad teammate, because he didn't think the people performed to his level. That's why the Shaq and Kobe thing happened. Like, all these things, and it seemed like he had finally let all that stuff go and started to be himself. You saw his... You know, even the way he looked differently. He looked like an assassin.
I want to get into this.
And then all of a sudden he turned into like a human.
I want to get into this.
In retirement.
Specifically. And it's not just in retirement. I want to get into this specifically after the top of the hour. Because I know you got another segment with us here. We're talking with Jason Goff here on the Bernstein McKnight Show. Because some of this does relate to the timing of the rape trial. And the timing of what he said, his note of apology and the settlement of the civil trial, some of him finding a new and different voice. It's this concept before kind of that we talked about, mm-hmm. about restorative justice and some of this reinvention. Mm-hmm. But there's his complicated personality and his growth in that time is something definitely worth discussing. And we will do that and more. So don't go anywhere. You've got Bernstein and McKnight with Jason Goff hanging out here on The Score.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Jalen.
Oh, no. Hey, Cole, how you doing? How retirement treating you?
It's great, man. It's great. Just, you know, a little writing, a little investing.
Nice. So I don't know if you saw the thing on Twitter about your statue.
You know, I don't pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah, I figured that. Me either.
A drink, Mr. Bryant? Yeah, I'll have a vodka martini.
How many olives would you like?
81.
Really?
Nah, man, I'm just playing. Just 2. Joke for him. He gets it.
Middays on The Score.
Top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Saturday when they host Purdue at 8 p.m. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Bernstein and McKnight, Jason Goff hanging out, giving us his perspective on the life and all too sudden death of Kobe Bryant yesterday. And when we heard that cut, and we earlier when they replayed the stuff from Jimmy Kimmel show, when you hear Kobe Bryant talk, and you compare the way he sounded early in his career, everybody changes a little bit. He changed immensely. And not just maturity, where the early Kobe Bryant almost felt a need to wear this constant Jordan costume to affect a Jordan-esque speech pattern. And then to hear him later sort of blossoming into his own man. And it's very easy to point to any inflection point, but one specifically along the way, the rape trial in Colorado that did result in him issuing a statement of apology, a statement of awareness that the incident may, the perceived consent may have not been there, and he understood how it was. It's aware that he potentially had done something wrong, to put it simply, mm-hmm. and then settled the civil suit where the evidentiary standard was a preponderance rather than beyond a reasonable doubt. And that at that point in his life, he was different. There was something about it. We'll never know to the extent to which he grew from that, moved on. It has nothing to do with whether or not he was a good dad or not, or anything mm-hmm. that happened. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to make sense of all of this and be sensitive to all parties involved. Mm-hmm. But what do you think is significant? Because there's a basketball piece to it and there's a personal piece to it about from where he emerged and what Kobe Bryant was after that, what he made himself into, that did seem maybe relatively mature beyond his years at just age 41.
Yeah, I mean, he was mature for a 17-year-old, too. I mean, this is a guy who, right, grew up in Italy, had to move to Philadelphia, and he wasn't the greatest friend maker. So immediately he armored himself with knowledge, trying to be able to make himself as culturally aware as possible with other things. Like, you know, for instance, I mean, 2 weeks ago, Luka Doncic is mm-hmm. out of bounds, and he hears somebody speaking to him in Slovenian, and he turns around, it's Kobe Bryant. And the footage is crazy because he turns around, he's like, who the hell's courtside this?
Trash talking.
Yeah, exactly. And he turns around and it's Kobe, and he gives Kobe a pound, and he said it's the highlight of his career.
Yeah.
You talk about a 17-year-old who had that Philly affect, even though it was a suburban Philly, and always had to prove himself. You know, he talked about him and Rip Hamilton, how they, you know, grew concurrently in terms of he was from Coatesville and Kobe went to Lower Merion, so they didn't get that Philly respect, right? But they had to do it on the AAU floors, and then you get to the NBA. All right, well, you're Jelly Bean Joe Bryan's son, so you've already got yourself a leg up. So how are you going to prove yourself here? All right, you want to be like Michael Jordan. See what happened to Harold Miner, right? You know, you see what happened to these other guys. There's supposed to be a lot of other Jordans.
Baby Jordan.
Yeah, baby yep. Jordan galore. He took on all those obstacles, and to this day, I think he's the greatest tough shot maker in the history of the game. Degree of difficulty, you go back and look at his regular performances, degree of difficulty on the shots that he put up. A lot of, you know, bad shots, degree of difficulty, it's a fine line.
Sure.
But
inefficiency.
To me, he's the greatest tough shot maker of all time. And I said that before he passed away. And I said that before he retired. Like the things that he always seemed like there was a challenge that he had to conquer. And the greatest part I think we were about to see was the fact that a lot of athletes don't gracefully go into their second lives. And I know a lot of athletes, former basketball, former football players who yearn for that spotlight and kind of slowly die as soon as those lights go off. Like you see them and they're still talking about the old days in a way where it's not celebratory, but it's like, I missed out on this, or I could have had this, or like as if they didn't leave it all there. Even though they made a lot of money, might have done some winning, might have been celebrated, were celebrated, because you don't get to that point. You don't get to the NBA, you don't get to the NHL, you don't get to Major League Baseball, you don't get to the NFL without being celebrated and working hard. But he did not seem, after his last game where he scored 60, like any of that was still going to follow him. You know, he was talking about his imagination factory that he was building in L.A. in terms of making sure that little kids understood that their imaginations were as important as their physicality. And you see all the investing that Melo and Kevin Durant and these guys are doing in the tech space. He was investing in kids' imaginations and storytelling in L.A. because he knew there were a lot of backgrounds and a lot of people, and especially an entire gender that we haven't heard from enough. Like the things that he was doing around women's sports and just championing little girls in L.A. because of his three. You know, these are the things that, that I was looking forward to seeing. I mean, the man won an Oscar, right, for a short film the moment he retires. And at like you mentioned in the last segment, Dan, you know, at 41, I'm 39, and I think about my mortality more now than I ever have in my life because of my son and because of the decisions I have to now make, because it's not only about me, it's about him. To think that he was thinking about this on a global scale, this is why basketball, like I said, not just the personal effect that it has, but the global scale. Soccer and basketball are the only two sports that are played at every corner of this on this in this globe. And he was, you know, an icon. Even when the stuff was going on with in Eagle, Colorado, China never let go of Kobe. Right? China still has a hold on Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
Like there's certain things that this game, there's a respect for basketball when it's played the right way. Once you are a winner, once you are a champion, once you overcome seemingly insurmountable odds. And Kobe Bryant was that dude. Yeah, the craziest part about it, Kobe was never my favorite player, but I always had an immense level of respect for him because of the way he went at it. You know, there was a certain, like, I look at my dad. My dad, for years, even when he didn't have to, would go in at 5 in the morning because he knew there was a job to do and there might be a day that you need to get in there early. And he's already there.
He was no Polish Paul.
My man Polish Paul. Yeah, not falling down an elevator shaft. You know, can't contend with that. But you know, Kobe had that I don't care what's wrong, go to work kind of vibe to him. Like, you go back and look at that 81-point game, and Jalen was talking about it today. That 81-point game did not have many highlights. That was a dude out there being a technician,
right,
being an adult on the floor. And you know, he's called many media members that I know, because I've talked to a lot of guys and girls over the last, you know, 18 hours or so, and said, yo, why weren't you at work today? Just messing with them. But he was real about it, because Kobe seemingly always wanted people to reach a level that they didn't think they could reach. And sometimes he broke people with that. He broke a lot of teammates with that. A lot of guys that came and went and thought,
we're taking 1,000 shots at 6 a.m. every day.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
6'4".
Right.
I mean, that's the thing that's kind of amazing to me, having watched Kobe my whole life, being a little bit younger than you, Jay, but
mm-hmm.
I still understood that was this man's mindset from the moment he got into the NBA.
That's crazy.
Despite the fact that he created his own problems at times, whether it's Eagle, Colorado, whether it's distancing teammates or coaches or even family members. Yeah. The man created his own issues, and yet it seemed for a brief moment after he retired, for almost like 2 years, that he was ready to let the game go,
mm-hmm.
that he was ready to move on. And it wasn't until, you know, I don't have children of my own, I don't have a family like that, but I can understand what it means to do so, to have your perspective so irrevocably changed by the love and investment of your own child, that it brings you back to a place where you can have joy for something that you'd, I imagine that Kobe had lost some for,
mm-hmm.
or definitely had it changed. It's so stunning to see the man's life end, and everyone on that flight. Kobe's, though, hours after LeBron takes his place on the all-time scoring
and
list.
And the tweet that he said.
Yes, his last tweet.
His last tweet
continue to push the game forward.
And letting Lakers fans know that it's okay to embrace LeBron.
All right.
That it's okay to move on. And the guy was going to have his own next platform to do the same thing.
Hall of Fame speech.
At a Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah. Yeah. The 4 minutes that LeBron went on about Kobe Bryant, you know, after he passed him, is probably the greatest eulogy you will ever hear for a person, because LeBron James, icon, you know, arguably the greatest talent to ever play the game. This dude said, I don't understand why Kobe Bryant came into my life or why he treated me this way. I can't explain to you. He's he's a, you know, the fact that the entire nation and a lot of the world's energy shifted for one person and one person's passing, not to mention the other 8 people who were on that plane because of the tragedy. Like, I feel like we should and will show respect to the other 8 people on that plane. But the entire world's energy shifted at around 1:30 yesterday and hasn't changed. Like, it stayed in this somber, solemn place. The Grammys are going on, and people are like, yo, we really don't care about music right now. We really don't care about you awarding art right now.
We certainly didn't care about that Prince thing that Usher tried to
do. I didn't watch a second of it.
Neither did I.
I didn't watch a second of it.
Wasn't interesting.
I'm good on all that. I don't think I need my art to be awarded anymore. I feel like now with the deprogramming of music that we've gotten, and now it's a la carte. You go get what you want, make your own playlist.
Give out your own awards.
Yeah, I'm good. I give out awards every car ride. Yep. You know, I'm like, man, this Griselda album is amazing. Like, I love, you know, but getting back to the Kobe thing, just having a little funnier. But the dude was, he was a worker. And if you are a worker, you respect workers, no matter how you feel about anything else they do. You respect workers and you respect results. You respect people who you may think, they probably had a bad day or two, but I never heard it. Or you may think, that person was probably sicker than I realized, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, worker is different than competitor. Because it's one thing to have going at it in competition and somebody being, but somebody,
what happens when the game isn't on?
Right. Worker. That's somebody who knows the name of the person that's parking your car when you get to the arena. That guy who's there every single day.
Joe Myers called most of his career. I talked to Joe yesterday. I mean, he's telling me about, he's told me about funerals that this dude has paid for and people that he's helped send to college and doesn't want anybody to know about it because he didn't want people to think he was soft. You know what I mean? He didn't want people to, and he didn't want opponents to have like an edge of, okay, there is a human behind that menacing scowl, you know, that crazy underbite and the glaring eyes and all the other craziness. Like he was a vibrant dude to watch play basketball. And even in the moments where, like, to me, one of his most famous moments was the Sacramento game where he didn't shoot the ball.
Yes.
And he made a point. He made a point to let people know is if you think this thing can rock without me, go ahead. And
you think I'm shooting too much? How about this?
Yes.
Right?
There it is.
He didn't shoot. I mean, it's just,
I in Atlanta, one of my first shows, I didn't agree with the fact that I thought I should be driving the show. And the dude who was driving with me, I love him to death, but I was like, this is not working. Like, he obviously can't do this. And and I didn't talk for like an hour. Like, I gave him one word answers. I was the worst person in the world. And my assistant program director was like, "You're just gonna Kobe this thing, huh?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? I knew what I was doing, but I was like, I'm proving to you." Right. And it was an idiotic thing to do in the moment, but it's like, and when there's another thing, quick story, because I know you guys got Mark Deeks coming up here. When I came back from Atlanta, there was a rookie. His agent invited me to a workout over at Tech, and I pull up, and this kid is now in the most improved player of the year running this year, and he's going through the workout, and the kid starts to feel himself or whatever, and then the intensity in the workout picks up, and all the trainer kept doing was like, Kobe's gonna be busting your ass every chance he gets. Like, Kobe's going to be killing you. That's your favorite player. Kobe's going to. And I'm listening to him do this to this 18-year-old kid fresh out of college. And I'm like, yeah, Kobe is going to be doing that to him. You know what I mean? Like, so Kobe was always – he was omnipresent, right? And all the Tim Duncan and LeBron James stuff, we talk about who's the greatest of their era. Kobe Bryant always knew that chatter was going on. But Kobe Bryant had championships. Kobe Bryant never wilted in those moments that we kind of poke holes in other players for wilting in. So I think that'll be his lasting legacy, a vibrant player. A crazy competitor, and it's a shame that his life was taken this soon, because I think he was getting ready to have as great a second act of his life as he did the first one that we all viewed.
Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good to see you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.